live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. That's right. We are back. Breaking news at this hour. If you missed the end of JT the Brick show, shame on you for missing the show, number one. Number two, though, breaking news. Raiders linebacker Corey Littleton moved to the reserve COVID-19 list today, as reported by Field Yates of ESPN just about 15 minutes ago. So we have another Raiders player who has either tested positive, and for whom I've talked to today, it seems to be that, yes, it was a positive test, but we do not have confirmation on that yet. So we're trying to work on getting that from multiple folks. But one person that I discussed with that does have some knowledge of the situation said that it was. And first of all, first and foremost, we want to make sure that we wish Corey the best and that he's okay and healthy. And then if he did test positive, that he's asymptomatic and that he gets better very, very soon. Because clearly with the way the country's been going, and we've had a little spike in across the country in different areas, there are concerns there. So we want to make sure that we first send our best to Corey Littleton. And you're not going to hear jokes here about the situation just because it is serious. And so we want to make sure that he's doing okay. But our best goes out to him and the Raiders, of course, who are without one of their players. So, again, you are here, Silver and Black Today, powered by, may I add, our good friend Sam and Ash. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what is right. And I bring in my co-host as well, who is Q Myers. Q, more COVID news, and we talked about this the last few days, didn't we, that we were probably going to see, along with the rest of the country seeing spikes, that we would see spikes in the NFL, and today it hits home in Henderson for the Raiders.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things, man, you're just going to have to continue to deal with, and the Raiders are going to have to deal with it as well. And it's getting fast and furious, and it's one of those situations, man. It's tough.
It is tough. And again, there's people making jokes about it because of Corey Littleton's play, and I'm just not going to go there. I think it's wrong.
No.
And so let's just make sure Corey Littleton's okay. But there's no official word from the Raiders. Again, one person I spoke to that has some knowledge of the situation said that it was a positive test, but we do not have confirmation. So we're going to work on that, and we'll update you as more information comes available. We'll talk to Vinny Bonsignor. Of course, he covers the Raiders. I know he's working hard on that story right now, so we'll talk to him towards the end of the show on that to see if, from what I've been hearing, is correct. But certainly, again, Corey Littleton to the reserve COVID-19 list on this afternoon. It does stink, you know. You want the guy. We've been talking about his play. We want him to get better, and the only way you get better is being on the field. And this COVID-19 comes out of nowhere. You know, he might not have been feeling bad or anything. It just might have been a test that he popped on. And it's one of those deals where you're going to have this going on through the winter. And so hopefully he gets healthy quick, and the Raiders have limited it due to contact tracing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's one of those things, too. And we talked to Vinny yesterday, and he was saying that he saw some signs from Corey where he thought he was getting better. You know, hey, he's playing a little bit better here, a little bit better there. And then, well, this happens, you know, and so it just kind of sets him back. But again, like you said, it's most important that he's healthy, and then he gets out there on the field and can do what he do. But man, it's a rough deal, and it's not going to be the end of it. I mean, they still got 8 games, so Raider Nation, buckle up.
Yeah, it's going to be that way, and that's why we talked about yesterday, too, right, about the possibility of maybe a playoff bubble. And I think that's the best idea, because if this continues and you start to see more and more players test positive. And again, we have not had a player that we know of that's gotten sick from this, which is a great, great thing. These are all very, you know, guys in great shape. They're healthy. They eat healthy. They work out all the time. So they're at a lower risk. But as time goes on, you hope that continues. But when you get to the playoff situation, you don't want that to be disrupted. So I'm hoping, and I'm assuming the NFL does have some sort of plan that they have ready in case they need it. They probably won't reveal that unless they have to. But my guess is, Q, you got to start thinking that way.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, really, you saw how it worked in the NBA, and it was pretty much flawless.
Right.
You know what I mean? So why not? And when you get it down to a certain amount of teams, you can do it. Even if you have to do it in two locations, it's fine. But you want to be able to just kind of, like you said, have that bubble situation. All the teams are there, and then they just move forward, play the games. And it's only a few weeks. It's not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Reminder on today's show, Evan Grote, who joins us every Thursday from Just Pod Baby, will be with us. We'll ask him about his analysis. Where does he think the Raiders are at the midway point? Always good to get more viewpoints and see what his view is. What's the biggest surprise? What's the biggest concern for this Raiders team? And then we'll talk about the Denver matchup as well. Then later at 3 o'clock, Levi Edwards from Raiders.com is with us, as he is all every Thursday as well. Raiders versus Broncos matchup. We'll have three things for us to watch in this matchup. And then we'll also talk to him more about that offensive line and what's been going on. Of course, we had Brandon Parker on early this week, and we were both impressed with what he's been able to do on the field, but also in our conversation with him, he's made a huge step, and you've seen that offensive line under Tom Cable just do so good. So we'll talk to Levi about that. Of course, the Q-tip, and then Vinny on later. Q, you know what I want to start out with today? Oh, by the way, you could call in. Get on. We have the Raider Nation hotline ready for you. Bobby's ready on the phone. 702-365-9200 is that number, the listener hotline, 702-365-9200, if you want to talk Raider football, Corey Littleton, whatever it may be. But one of the things we mentioned a little while ago, and actually Vinny, I think, mentioned yesterday too, Q, is this idea of how much better the Raiders have done with third quarter scoring.
It's man, like, that's been my thing.
Yes. It's been night and
day. I almost want to say that he stole that from me, but I know he didn't. But still. No, I mean, seriously, I've been harping on this for the longest. Going back to the offseason, even back to the old station that we were on, I talked about the third quarter struggles forever. And Vinny put out a great piece on it. Very good piece.
Yes.
But man, I'll tell you, and I did a Q-tip on it the other day too.
You did.
Just done a really good job changing the third quarter statistics and what they've been able to do from what they did last season.
Well, and so the question, and you're right, in Vinny's story, which you can find up on the Las Vegas Review Journal, remember last year the Raiders were dead last in third quarter points. This year they've scored the ninth most points in the third quarter. I mean, it's not just better. It's a complete turnaround.
They're at 41 points.
Yes, 41
They only had 27.
Points. It's incredible.
All last year.
I know. And John Gruden, the press conference yesterday, talked about it, and he gave all the credit to Derek Carr. Now, I agree. I think Derek Carr in the third quarter, if you look at his play, has been much, much better. But I also think the play calling and the adjustments at halftime have been better. So I understand the coach putting his quarterback out there and saying it's all on him. But I think truly, Q, this is a combination of them coming out with better adjustments, better game plan in the second half, no matter what the situation is. And then Carr, yes, executing it with perfection most of the time.
I agree. I agree. And it's something that, you know, John Gruden's been criticized over years, multiple years, for lack of adjustments at halftime. And you're seeing in this year that he's able to make those adjustments. And it's been paying off, and it's major. And even going back to just the last week, 14 points in the third quarter is a big deal. They didn't score last year. They didn't score twice. Not three, not six. Not, I mean, they didn't score twice in the third quarter. They scored 14 last week.
Amazing. Yeah, and that's where you look at this offense and what they've been able to do. And we talk about individual players, but as a unit, including that offensive line, including the quarterback, including the running game, including the receiving game, and then the coaching, it's all been better. And that's where, you know, I think that sometimes when this offense doesn't, you know, do things like to start the game last week. You know, they come out in those three pass plays and everybody's like, what the hell is going on? And it did. It looked odd. But I will tell you, from an efficiency standpoint and from the ability to score, this is why I agree with a statement you made yesterday, Q, which was, listen, this team can play with anybody. Doesn't mean they're going to beat everybody.
Right.
They have the offensive firepower to hang with anybody in the league.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, and that's huge, because when you get in the playoffs, man, you never know what's going to happen. And you toss in all this COVID crazy stuff and people losing guys at the last minute you never expected that could be crucial players. You just don't know what's going to happen. So you got to keep just working and grinding hard. And I think the Raiders offense is doing that. And you have to give Gruden credit for that too. I know Gruden sometimes gets criticized for being too conservative, too aggressive, but I think he's found a mix really that works for him.
I agree. I think that he is doing the job that he needs to do. He's got the Raiders going in the right direction. I know everyone doesn't agree with everything John Gruden does, every call he makes, every fourth down decision. I get it. But all in all, he's got the team going where it needs to go.
Yes, absolutely. And Derek Carr does have a lot to. I think Derek Carr, that we talked about yesterday too, that it's a career type year. I mean, people will go back to 2016 because that one ended with him just breaking his leg. Everybody was happy with everything else that occurred that year. But I will tell you that he really, and we talked to Hunter Renfrow earlier in the week, and we talked to Brandon Parker on Tuesday. We talked to all these players who play with him, and they all say the same thing. And that is, he's just not thinking as much. He's just going out and he's playing. And now we need some of the other guys on the defense to do that now. Stop thinking so much and just playing, I think, more to get the balance there. Because if this defense can just improve a couple notches up, then this team, I think, is really on the road to being in the playoffs where they want to be, sitting at that number six seed right now.
Exactly. I I'm pretty pleased with where they're at right now. I know there's plenty of things to address and get better at, but all in all, man, they're doing what they need to do. They put themselves in really good position to make a run. All they got is 8 games left, and you go out there and win 5, just like you won 5 in the first half of the season. You're cooking with grease, and you're in the playoffs.
Who's been the biggest surprise for you so far this season in the NFL? Not with the Raiders, but in the NFL from a team perspective. Is there somebody, Q, who you didn't really give much of a chance, and they've just been much more impressive than you would have anticipated?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they were going to be that good, and I don't know how long this can last. I'm not a big believer in the offense that they're running there under Cliff Kingsbury. I think that they can be nice for a while. But similar to what's going on in Baltimore right now, I feel like defenses figure it out.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how long it's going to last. I like Kyler Murray a lot. I know he's a winner, and that's one thing he's going to do and provide. But I don't know how long this thing is going to last in Arizona. But right now, that division, the NFC West, is amazing. I mean, they are – you want to talk about cooking with grease. Mm-hmm. That whole division is cooking with grease. So I'm pretty surprised by that. The other thing I'm surprised by is the fact that Seattle's defense is so awful.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been missing Jamal Adams, right?
Yeah, but he's not the guy that's going to change that whole defense. That whole defense stinks.
Yeah, they got nothing up front, man.
Raider fans are looking at the Seattle defense like, man, you guys suck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm serious.
Yes, the Seahawks would kill for the Raiders defense at this point.
Exactly.
There's no doubt. I mean, but I still think, though, in that division, now there's a big game this weekend between the Rams and the Seahawks, mm-hmm. but I still like the Seahawks to win that division and come out of it. I think it's quarterback play.
You got Russell Wilson.
Yes. I think it's quarterback play to the, and I'm not a Goff hater. I'm okay with Goff. I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback, but I do think he's okay and they can win with him. I just, there's so many suspect pieces of that Rams team that concern me, that I just think that the Seahawks will run away with that. And, of course, the 49ers have been beset by every injury and missed piece of bad luck that you can possibly have, which I know, not the injury piece, because I know nobody out there cheers for injuries, but I know Raider fans like the 49ers having misery. And so I just think that Seattle coming on. And I was talking to my buddy who's a Seahawks fan, and I told him, I said, you got to feel pretty good. He's like, oh, our defense is terrible. I said, yeah, but you look at the NFC, right? If you look at the NFC West, you got there. Then you look at the Central, or North, excuse me, North, South, East. What other team there, you know, is a team that you think is going to just jump out and be the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl? Is it the Packers?
No.
I don't think so either. The Buccaneers? You keep hearing about the Buccaneers?
No.
Exactly. So the NFC is pretty wide open. The AFC, I think, at the top has better teams. It's more clear kind of who you think. You think Baltimore, you think Pittsburgh, you think Kansas City off the top is kind of the top three.
I'm falling off Baltimore train, to be honest.
No, I understand that. I am too. But then something just tells me that they'll get it together. Now, if they don't, that'll surprise me. Everybody wants to blame Lamar Jackson. He's not the issue there. But he certainly needs to play better. He's not playing like he did last year, which is hard because that's an MVP year.
Well, and again, it's like they figured it out, though. You see the offense that they're running, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. But they just kind of figured it out. And when I say they, I mean the league. Just kind of, okay, figure out what's going on. They beat teams they're supposed to beat. But if you look at the teams that are really, really good, they don't win.
Yes, that's the Kansas City matchup, right?
I mean, exactly.
You saw it, and as much as I love Lamar Jackson, I love watching the kid, and I think he's an amazing talent. I still think, too, though, that they lack receiving talent.
I think they got the talent. I just don't think that they're getting it to him.
Well, that could be. It could go either way.
They got Devin Duvernay. Who else do they have as wide receivers? Man, I got to
see.
Go through my mind. Well, yeah. I can't. I'm trying to think.
I know there's too many names in our heads. Too many days in a row. But yeah. No, I agree with you. They haven't been able to win the big game, and and to me, that's the biggest thing. So when I look at the AFC right now, I see the Chiefs and I see the Steelers because both now have that deep playoff experience. Both have won. Both quarterbacks have won world championships. And so it's kind of hard to look past them. But like I said, on the NFC side, I look at that team and I say, boy, to me, Seattle, if they had a 25% better defense, I'd say they're the odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl for the NFC.
Agreed. I mean, on the strength of Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And like you said, if the defense was just a little bit better, actually a lot better, they'd be great. Yeah. But they're not because that defense. I mean, look, that defense gave up almost 500 yards passing to Cam Newton. He's barely passed for 500 yards since that game.
That's why I have Jared Goff as my flex in my fantasy league this week.
I don't do fantasy
because he's going to put up big numbers against Seattle. But we'll see if they can pull it out. The other story I want to talk about, because you talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think on one of the Q-tips, and that is Alex Smith. Alex Smith is going to start this week against the Detroit Lions. And the Alex Smith story to me, not just the broken leg, which is massive. I mean, it's just incredible that this guy's even on the field. Okay, I probably wouldn't even be walking. So he's on the field. He's going to start for the Washington football team this week. Mm-hmm. But you look at this guy's career. Okay, he gets drafted high by the 49ers, really kind of just never makes it there. Gets traded
until Jim Harbaugh
towards the end, right? So then he goes to the Chiefs, and he's a good caretaker, gets that team kind of respectable. He was the Jack Del Rio type, you know, how Jack Del Rio, the coach, kind of got the Raiders back to respectability. Mm-hmm. That's what Alex Smith did at quarterback for the Chiefs. And then, of course, he tutors Patrick Mahomes, who comes in right after him. Then he goes to Washington, and he was going to do that same kind of thing, and, of course, he has the broken. So here's a guy who's been, like, through four amazing challenges in his career, including the health issue, and he's fought back every time and done it. It's one of the best stories, I believe, in the history of the league.
No, it is. It's really, really good. There's no doubt he's going to be comeback player of the year. It's well-deserved. And he's a good player. He's never going to be a great player, but he's a good, consistent, you know who he's going to be player.
Right. And I don't think he's ever going to be, because I would say he was a good quarterback, right? And I don't think.
Yeah, not great.
Not great. No, exactly. Just a good pro NFL quarterback. Now, will he ever get back to that? No. I mean, I think he's, as a starter, he's going to be a spot starter here and there like he is this week. And he's just not going to, because physically it's just very difficult. The fact that he's out there is remarkable in itself. But just a shout out to him, because I'm going to be watching that this weekend as well. I just want to see how he does against a team, the Lions, and they actually get after the quarterback pretty good. So we'll see what happens. Just another great story there for football fans and overall with Alex Smith, because just a crazy, crazy story. Okay, we're going to take our first break. We'll also take your phone calls when we come back. 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll also be joined by Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. We'll talk to him about his midseason kind of view of the Raiders and where they're at. You're with Scott Gilbranson. You're with Q Myers. You are on Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black today here on this Thursday. If you missed the breaking news at the top of the show, Raiders linebacker Corey Littleton moved to the reserve COVID-19 list. We don't have any more details. We're trying to solidify that and find out and get confirmation if he tested positive or what it may be. But that's the indication we have. So we will, once we have that confirmed, we will let you know. First thing here on Raider Nation Radio on Silver and Black today, Q Meyer, Scott Cobranson back with you. Q, are you a uniform buff? Like, do you like cool uniform stuff, or is it just kind of like, nah?
Nah, I'm not real big on that. Some people, you know, love all these different uniforms and how things look. And I'm, look, man, just put your uni on and get out there and make it happen.
Yes. The only reason I bring this up, because the Los Angeles Rams, okay, the second most loved team in Los Angeles behind the Raiders, they have said, they have petitioned the NFL that they want to have a new uniform combination every year.
What?
Yes. Our goal, this is from Kevin Demoff, the CEO of the Rams. He says, quote, "Our goal, hopefully, is we can get to a point where maybe we can unveil a new uniform every year, either the way we space it out or whether the NFL and Nike changes those rules."
Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
He says it's maybe a bit more like the European soccer model, where you come out with that alternative jersey each year. Some people like that, some people don't, but yeah, we could see that. And I'll say one word, the whole reason behind this, money.
Of course.
Because
I mean, that's always the reason.
Sure, but it's, to me, it's ridiculous, because like I am not a fan, for example, of Oregon's football uniforms where they have like thousands of combinations. Like, I don't mind an alternate uniform, like a throwback or something. That's cool. I'm cool with
right.
that. But when you have 14 different uniforms and then you have other smaller colleges who can't even afford programs, and I understand it's private money. I don't begrudge Oregon. They got Nike in their back pocket, and it's like they give them whatever they want. But still, it's like, why not take some of that money and, you know, help a women's golf team, help a wrestling team? You know, there's all kinds of things you can do with that money instead of having to wear 15 uniforms.
Yeah, but, well, they make money.
They do make
those
money.
Those programs make the money. The golf team.
Yes.
The winter women's basketball, all that stuff, they don't make money.
They don't make money. And then the NFL now, to get an authentic jersey, like if you go on NFLshops.com, it's like $349.
Right.
For a jersey. I mean, I remember.
I'll get you one, man. You got all the money?
No. I got five kids, man. We might got money.
Hey, it's all right. You're big money, man.
Big money.
That's sending kids to college, man. I'm asking kids to get scholarships.
That's
hey, man, y'all need a scholarship, because if not.
That's what my daughter did. My daughter got a full academic scholarship.
See? There you go. That a boy.
That's it. She paid for her own way. I love it. That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, buddy.
But these uniforms are so expensive, and now they want to put out a new one every year. Now, of course, you know, I watch Raider fans. They love their jerseys, their players, and all that stuff. It's like, can you imagine? They're putting a new uniform out every year. That's just, bonkers. But anyway, all right, we are going out now to our Western New York bureau. That's right.
Uh-oh.
To our good friend Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. You can subscribe to that podcast anywhere where you get your podcast. Evan, what do you think, man? A new uniform every year?
You know, I'm always in the belief that you've got to look good to feel good to play good. So I totally understand.
Oh, nobody says they're going to look good. Have you seen the Rams uniforms?
Well, they're trying. Man,
the old school look is the best look, period. The Eric Dickerson, Jerome Bettis, those looks, just leave it like that. You're good. Just like the Raiders got their look.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah. I agree. In fact, I loved the Raiders uniforms against the Chargers with the silver numbers, although I know the media hates them because they're hard to see from up in the press box. But yeah, those look really cool. I just like the silver. The silver.
Speaking of uniforms, I'm a big uniform guy. That's part of the reason why I became a Raiders fan when I was a young kid. I was attracted to the silver and black, you know, the logo on the helmet. So, you know, that's important to me.
And, you know, the Raiders uniform, because it hasn't changed, and the helmets have changed over the years several times, right? The color, did you know that? The dye that they use in the silver?
Mm-hmm.
If you ever read that story, it's a pretty cool story. But overall, the jerseys, that has not changed, okay? And so that classic look, it's very simple. You know, there's nothing crazy about the Raiders. It's just silver and black, and that's what makes it so nice. It's like it's sort of like the Yankees pinstripes in the simple NY. It doesn't change. The only classic, quote unquote, classic uniform, which I think looks like crap, is Penn State.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like Penn State.
Looks like crap.
Looks like they just took it out of the box.
Ah, man, that's simple and clean. Sometimes simple's better, man.
Oh, I'm not
like, more.
It's like Air Force Ones back in the day, man. Coke white. Simple, yeah, clean.
All white. All nice and clean and ready to go. All right, let's get back to Raider football. Okay, so Evan, we're at the midseason mark. The Raiders sit at 5-3. a nice record, and they appear, you know, if they, as Q said it yesterday, all they got to do is do in the second half what they did in the first half, and they're in the playoffs. Tell me what you think right now, kind of your overall analysis of where this team is after the first eight games versus maybe where you thought it could be.
Well, I think they're in a great position. I think they've really set themselves up nicely for to make a run at the playoffs, and I'm very happy where they are at 5-3 right now. And they've beaten two really good teams, the Saints and the Chiefs. The Saints are the number one seed in the NFC right now. I'm not sure if people are aware of that, and we know how good the Chiefs are. And they were able to weather the storm early on in the season. A lot of people thought, man, can they manage the beginning part of this season? They were able to do so, and they did it with some injuries along the offensive line and at the wide receiver position, and also had some injuries to the defense. But for me, the big question going into the second half of the season, can they finish? You know, that that's going to be the big question. They were 6-4 last year as well after week 11, and we know that they finished 1-5. That can't happen again. Now, the schedule lines up nicely with two games against Denver. They'll play the Chargers again, the Falcons, and the Jets. The records on these teams are not very good, but these are games they must take care of business in, and if they can do so, they no doubt they should find themselves in the playoffs.
Evan, what's your thoughts on Corey Littleton? I mean, he hasn't been playing that well. Vinny pointed out to us yesterday that he saw some plays. He felt like he was starting to figure things out, and now all of a sudden he's on the COVID-19 list. So obviously that's a blow to the team just because he's expected to be a big-time player. But what has just been your thoughts on Corey Littleton and then finding out the news that he's on the COVID-19 list?
Corey Littleton's been one of the biggest disappointments for me on this roster, along with Malik Collins. Those were two guys that I thought were going to transform this defense that have done little to nothing, in my opinion. I think the issue with Littleton is a lot what Gunther had to say. He's been in a certain system throughout his whole career, and now he's with a new team and he's being asked to do some things a little bit differently. And he just not has been able, he hasn't been able to catch on and get up to speed with what they're asking him to do. So, you know, maybe when he does come back from the COVID list, maybe take a little bit off his plate, maybe take him off the field on early rundowns. Let's see a little bit more Raekwon Millen and just give him one assignment, just cover somebody. That was supposed to be his strength. Coming over to the Raiders, let him focus on just coverage.
Yeah, and if he gets back in time for the Chiefs game, which will hopefully be the case, that's a big one because you have Travis Kelce, you have Tyreek Hill that's going to be over there. So you want to have him on Travis Kelce and make sure he's controlling that tight end because that's what one of the reasons he was brought in. Again, we're visiting with Evan Grote, Just Pod Baby, talking about the Raiders at the midway point of the 2020 season. Now, if we switch, Evan, to kind of your biggest surprise and biggest concern, you mentioned being disappointed in those two defensive players in Collins and Littleton, but when you look at what you're surprised by, what has gone really well for this team, what sticks out for you above all else?
I think as far as surprises are concerned, there's got to be two. I think number one, Nelson Aguilar, he's been a real pleasant surprise for me. And I think the second thing that really stands out is the play of the offensive line without Trent Brown and Richie Incognito. Now, starting with Aguilar, you know, what a signing he has been after he was let go by the Eagles. They let him walk in free agency, and he and Derek Carr, they clearly have developed a chemistry. There's a high level of trust there. You can just see that. And all I heard about Aguilar last season was, you know, he can't catch the ball, he took too many drops. But what a find he has been. His 5 touchdowns this year, he's leading the team, and he's approaching his career high, which is 8, and that he had in 2017. And one of the things that I find interesting about Aguilar is that he's averaging 20 yards per reception this year, and he never averaged more than 12 before this year. And I think that many fans are surprised by what we're seeing Aguilar do because he's doing what we thought Henry Ruggs was being brought in here to do. So he's been able to add that deep threat dimension that they've so badly needed. And then with the offensive line, you know, I just can't say enough about the job they have done to patch it together without Trent Brown and Incognito. Denzel Good, he's been excellent. Sam Young and Parker, we know they've stepped up at times. And even rookie John Simpson, he's done some really good things as well. But nobody deserves more credit than Tom Cable for what he has been able to do with this offensive line. Just look at last week as a prime example of that. Three backups in the lineup, and they held it together.
Yeah, they really did. They've done a good job. We've been singing Tom Cable's praises, really, because, I mean, he deserves it, like you mentioned. Going back to the defense real quick and the linebacking position, you mentioned Raekwon McMillan. What do you think the issue is on why he's not getting onto the field?
That's a good question. I think maybe it's they just want to get Littleton more reps. They want to give him an opportunity to kind of come out of the funk that he's been in. You know, we have not seen him. They gave up a pick for McMillan, and he really hasn't gotten much of an opportunity, but that is going to change this week. I think you're going to see a lot more playing time from Nicholas Morrow as well as McMillan, so hopefully he'll add something to this defense.
Again, we're visiting with Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. And Evan, if we look at some of the bigger concerns, I mean, you talked about two of them, but what other traps could there be for this team heading down the second half of the schedule?
Well, I think the schedule looks good, but again, as I always say, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's a week-to-week league, and we see it every week across the league. There's always a game or two that the team who won the game had no business doing so. And so when you look at the schedule, you have games against teams like the Falcons and the Denver and the Jets. You don't want to overlook these games because these teams are going to be fighting for jobs. Coaches are fighting for jobs and players are fighting for jobs. And you don't want to overlook them because, again, that could a loss here and there, that could be the difference of making the playoffs or not.
It really could be. And, you know, the one thing I'm not concerned about, because I think it's going to work itself out in the wash, but you're looking at the Patriots now and how bad they are, and then you think about the Raiders losing that game to New England. It's like, man, hopefully that game don't come back to bite them in the long run.
Yeah, well, the Patriots were actually playing well at that point in the season when they lost to them. But, yeah, I mean, you look back on that game and you see how the Patriots are playing right now, and that's one that you could go back and look on and you're just going to shake your head about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, if we switch it and look at the Broncos, Evan, coming into Las Vegas, Raiders' first home game in 3 weeks. Broncos, you know, they're up and down. They're 3-5. They're having trouble with defense. They have some injuries, of course, offense. Drew Locke, the jury's still out on him. When you look at this matchup, I think it favors the Raiders pretty nicely. When you see it, though, what are you looking at, and what do you think the Raiders need to do in order to get that big win here at home?
Well, like you said, it definitely favors the Raiders. You know, one thing I do worry about when you go into a game like this is, you know, the Broncos have lost some close games, much like the Chargers last week. They've been in some close games. And we saw the Raiders nearly let that game slip away last week. They almost blew an 11-point lead. That concerns me when you have a team like Denver has been in some games, just not consistent enough to win those. They're going to be fighting to keep their season alive, and they're a young team. Maybe they're not even aware that they're supposed to lose this game. And when you face teams like that, they play hard, and that worries me. So I just, again, I hope the Raiders come out. Don't think about next week game because, you know, you got a big game with the Chiefs. Think about this week and take care of business.
What are your thoughts on Isaiah Johnson? He made some plays at the end of that that game against the Chargers that sealed the deal for the Raiders. Everyone's been talking about him getting onto the field more and more, and I don't think by what John Gruden said earlier this week, you're going to see a ton of Isaiah Johnson. But just what you saw on Sunday against the Chargers, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I did just see on Twitter that Paul Gunther said you're going to see a lot more of Isaiah Johnson.
He said that today, yeah.
Yeah.
My bad, I missed it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, I'm happy about it because I don't want to pat myself on the back or anything, but I had Isaiah on the podcast over in the spring, and I walked away from that conversation with him, and based on what I had heard about him last year and seen from him. And he was my dark horse candidate to win the starting job across from Trayvon Mullen. Now, that didn't happen, but I always felt like he just needed an opportunity, and I think he got it last week, and he made the most of it. I thought he made some really great plays in the game. He did give up a couple slants to Keenan Allen, but overall, he held up very well, and I think he showed that he has that big physical body out there, the background of being a receiver in college. He knows how to go up and make plays on the ball, so I think that really showed.
It does, and you know what? He's so good. If you go back and listen to Evan's podcast and then listen to his press conference, he's just so good. The kid is so grounded. When you hear him talk and he's talking about football, he's just a great interview too. So it's always fun. And he was on with Vinny on Monday as well here. So you can listen to the archive up on lvsportsnetwork.com to that one as well. Okay, Evan, give us your prediction. What do you got in this game?
I'm going to say Raiders win. You know, as far as the score, I expect it to be fairly high scoring. Both of these teams can score. I'll say 31-24 Raiders.
31, that's about right. I mean, they've been scoring in the 30s. That sounds about right. All right, well, Evan Grote, what do you got coming up on the podcast on Friday?
This week, I'm going to be, you know, going over the news and notes for the week, and I'm going to ask the question, is Derek Carr playing the best football of his career? And I'm going to take a look at that. I'm going to give some of my opinion on that, and my guest this week is Broncos insider Troy Rink. He's covered the team for a long time, and he's with ABC7 in Denver.
Nice. Troy Rink will be on Just Pod Baby with Evan Grote. Evan, thanks for joining us, man. We will talk to you next week, brother.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
All right, there you go. Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. And he's kind of in line with what our assessment's been thus far. And I'm still holding to a 9-7 record. I know it looks like 10-6 is well within reach, but I've been at 9-7 since the beginning of the year, and I think that's where it'll end up. But we'll see how it all goes down. Now, Q, the press conferences today, they had Tom Cable out there, which was great because everybody wants to talk to him because he is a story with as well as he's done. We talked about him here a lot on the show this week as well because of what's been going on. And of course, Brandon Parker was on earlier with us too. Cable, and this is a long cut, but I want to play it because it goes to the idea of what he's had to do, the continuity on the offensive line and helping with injuries. So let's hear what Tom Cable has to do. Yeah, the first one there. Thanks, buddy.
I think the way we practice, you know, the training, this group's been together for, best part of 3 years now. You know, Colton and Brandon haven't drafted them 3 years ago. So really, Sam's the only new guy, per se, and he's experienced. So his experience really has kind of kicked in for us big time. But, you know, this is the group. They're always kind of pressing to prepare, and, you know, they're pretty close, so they're spending a lot of time together to get to this point where they can handle it.
So there you go. You like that. I mean, the long and short of it is they're a close group. They work hard together, and that explains, Q, why they kind of have each other when somebody goes down and they have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and that's how it's got to be. You know, offensive line, those have got to be some of the tightest guys. And when I say tight, I mean tight with each other. You know, mm-hmm. They've got to have that relationship. Everything they do has got to be in sync with each other because that's what you need to have a successful offensive line. So that's just what it's all about. We've heard that a couple times this year so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The other cut I want to play from Tom Cable is just about that. Exactly. You brought it up, how tight they get. And also for him, because that coach-player relationship is significant. And when asked about how he develops that and why it's important, here's what Cable said.
We talk a lot. You know, it's been that way all the way back to college days. That's probably the most important thing to me, Jerry. I think that when a coach can connect with the player and vice versa, you kind of understand them. You kind of know what it takes for them to be prepared, what they need to get prepared. They recognize the fact that you're with them. You're in it for them. You don't put yourself on a pedestal as a coach. Ego stays out of it. All that kind of BS and nonsense, I think, that comes into football at this level. A lot of guys need to be pumped up or need someone to talk about them or whatever, and we just have never approached it that way. It's been more about them as men, as husbands one day, as fathers. What are they going to do with their money when they're done? What's the plan after football? So it's always kind of been at the lead thing is let's take these guys further than what the game will. The game will pay them well, but it'll beat them up pretty good too. So let's big picture this a little bit more. And that's important to me. It always has been. You know, with the passing of Mario week before last, Mario Henderson, I had a bunch of those guys reach out to me that were able to attend his service. And that just means the world to me, you know, that those guys would be there for him. And that's just the way we've always been connected. And I'm really proud of that.
Well, there you go. Some real, I think.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, some really great insight there from Tom Cable on that coach-player relationship amongst the players to having their own relationships with one another. And that's really, I mean, when you talk about football being a war and going to battle, that's how brothers act, right? They're there throughout, and it's something that never goes away. And to hear Cable kind of verbalize that, because we don't hear a lot from Tom Cable.
Right.
To me, that was really meaningful, and kudos to him for what he's been able to do thus far.
He just let it be known that it's a family situation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, these guys look out for each other on and off the field, and that's a big deal, man. It's one thing to worry about these guys when they're in the facility and they're working out and they're, you know, playing for you and performing for you. It's another thing to worry about them as just grown men and what they're doing in their life, and I think that goes a long way.
All right, we're going to go out on the phone lines here before the break. I'm going to bring in our friend Dame from Oakland. What's up, man?
Hey, hey, fellas, what's cracking?
Hey, buddy.
Chilling.
Hey, so that's great with Cable, you know what I mean? It shows that he really grew up in the game, too, to have to treat, you know, his players that way. And we've been hearing press conferences all year, and they all been reverberating the same thing, that they, this family, and we work out together, and we go to war together. So it's good to hear everybody on the same page at different times, you know, saying the same thing. It's a beautiful thing. I want to touch on Isaiah Johnson. I appreciate the two plays where he knocked the ball out. I think everybody really overreacting because they saw that, though, because he did get cooked a few times in that game. But everybody gets cooked. I'm not knocking him. But when everybody said, oh, we got to get him in the game, we got to get him in the game. And when Gruden said, we got to keep working on him, he's not going to be in the game, I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then when Gunther said, we're going to see more of him, I don't trust Gunther. Gunther's the weak link, you hear me? So to hear him say, oh, no, we're going to see, that means Gunther made a decision, and he ain't made nothing but bad decisions all season. So it worries me to hear Gunther saying, we're going to see him. I think the dude could play, no doubt about it. But anytime Gunther says something, it's kind of like, oh, man, we got the wrong dude in charge. But, I mean, I hope Isaiah Johnson come in and be that big corner and make some big plays, you know, and prove me wrong and make Gunther look better. Because right now, you understand me, I got to go fund me because Gunther's ticket out of this damn Las Vegas.
Dave, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. And I think both coaches could actually – it might sound like they're contradicting each other, but I don't think they are. I think what it means is they're going to ease him in more. To your point, it doesn't mean he's fully ready to be the starter per se, but I think you will see more of him because he's earned the playing time.
Yeah, I think he's earned a little bit more. You know, I did see, you know, what Dame was talking about. He definitely had his bad moments in that game against the Chargers, but he came up big in the end when it really, really mattered. So, you know, that's why I was kind of referring back to him earlier when we were talking to Evan. It was just like, you know, what have you basically overall seen? I think he needs to get a little bit more time on the grass, but I don't think he's a starter yet. I just think he's, you know, still growing into that position.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. Okay, we're going to go pay some bills. When we come back, we'll roll on with your calls. So get on the phone, get in line, and we will get you on the air. 702-365-9200 is the number. You can also text us at the Sam & Ash text line. 69186 is the number. You're listening to Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends, the injury attorneys Sam & Ash, 702-820-1234. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah, route running. To be honest with you, we love the speed factor. Again, it's something you can't coach. But the route running and the consistency that we want to see him bring to the game. He's another guy that's been out, just finished up outside here with him, working the toe touches, the toe drags on the sideline. So it's experience for him and a route running, which in at Alabama, you know, Judy was the guy, and I think he's a guy that again, it's just still, we don't want to say developing because he's a great player right now, but his route running can get better, and we see a real high ceiling in terms of that.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Back here, Silver and Black Today on this Thursday. Going fast, baby. That was offensive coordinator Greg Olsen talking about our good
Henry Ruggs
the third, right?
He's not wrong either.
No, he's not wrong. But
he's spot on with everything he said there. That's one of the things you got to pay attention to.
You do. And we're going to talk to Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist, tomorrow on our show. He wrote a piece about that, about Henry Ruggs III, and how people compare him to Jerry Jeudy and how it's not fair and how you need to look at him and that there should be some concern in some areas, but that you should not panic about the development of Henry Ruggs III. So look for that tomorrow on our show for our Friday get together. We're going back on the phone lines here before the top of the hour. We go down to Southern California with Cisco. Cisco, what's going on?
What's up, brothers? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Good. Hey, Q. Like your podcast, but first of all,
thank you.
Yeah, this wide receiver stuff. I mean, we need to spread him out more.
Okay.
We need to spread him out some more. We need to start utilizing like they do in KC. That's the reason we picked him up, right? We need to start utilizing like that.
Well, the issue, though, Cisco, is it's not the same kind of offense, right? The Chiefs' offense operates a little differently. You have a different type of quarterback. You have a different scheme. There's some similarities, of course, but I think if you're looking for the Chiefs' offense, you're never going to see that with John Gruden. You'll see pieces of it. So if you mean maybe we need a little more of those pieces intertwined, and I think we've seen it a little bit, but again, you're always going to see, I think, a little bit of the heavy ball control, run the ball a lot more than you would with the Chiefs.
Absolutely, but I just want to see more in between. Start using cross routes.
Oh yeah,
not just your wide. Just go out deep. Not that.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, and I think we said that yesterday too, Q. And thanks for the call, Cisco. We appreciate you listening, man. Thank you. But I think we've been saying that, right? You got to use him quick hit crossing patterns across the middle, which is what he did a lot at Alabama.
Exactly. I mean, what attracted you to him in the beginning? I know the speed was obviously a major factor, but he has really good hands and he does certain things really well. Crossing patterns, slants, stuff like that. And going back to Cisco's call, one of the things that I will agree 100% with is John Gruden said he's our Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Tyreek Hill gets a lot of attention and the balls go his way quite a bit and they use them in multiple different fashions. Let them do it. Look, at this point, I'll be honest, and I know everyone doesn't agree with me, I wouldn't mind seeing him back there returning kicks. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, he's got the speed.
I know some people are going to be like, no, he's number 12 overall. You don't want to get him hurt. Hey, look, man, speed kills.
All right, going back on the phone lines, we're going out to the Windy City with Mike in Chicago. Mike, you're on with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, man, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I am really – oh, Scott, let me say this to you, man. I started listening to you in August of last year.
Nice.
You gave much praise to Cliff Branch.
Yes.
And I was like, damn, this dude know Raider football. I mean, I was listening to another station, and they didn't say anything about it. And I ended up calling them and being critical of them about it. And then they came on with some – asinine reason why they didn't. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Oh.
But much props with you with that. And I'm bringing the Cliff Branch up because I've been meaning to give you a props for that. And I'm saying that because Nelson Aguilar has been putting some Cliff Branch yardage to catch this year.
Yep.
I mean, just without a doubt, you know? And I was like, man, I ain't seen this since Cliff Branch. And I think, you know, because Gruden is so old school. He's like, nah, man, dude, I'm just going to hang with Aguilar right now. We'll figure this stuff out with Ruggs. He's going to be here for a minute. But I got this vet who's blowing the top off the field. And I just think that's great. a couple of things. I'm really impressed with how Carr is playing this year. I heard his voice. I heard him talking last year, and I was impressed, but I just don't think he had the talent around him. And now he sounds just even better this year. Now he has the talent. And I am – the game-saving play for me this past Sunday was when Nick Kukowski stopped what's his name? Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor, yep, yep.
The biggest difference in the game at point in the game. Now, this is a guy, because, you know, I live in Chicago. I watched him all last year because with the brother they got from Denver was hurt. But he was balling last year, man. I was really impressed when the Raiders got him. But, you know, what do you guys think about his play for this year?
Yeah, hey, Mike, thanks for the call. We're up against the top of the hour break. We appreciate you calling. I mean, I think he's been great on defense. You know, he had issues with the injury. But he's been good, and I mean, you saw it on Sunday against the Chargers. He was all over the field.
Yeah, he's lived up to the billing. I mean, the money he's earning, he earned
yes.
it. You know, now Corey
yes.
Littleton, not so much.
Yes. All right, we're up against it here. When we come back after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. We'll ask him about three things to watch in the Raiders-Broncos matchup. You're with Q, you're with Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.